Good morning. We'll call the meeting of the House Special Committee on Arctic Policy, Economic Development, and Tourism to order. It's 11:31 a.m. Tuesday, March 6th, in State Capitol Room 124. Members present are Representative Josephson, Representative Tuck, myself, Representative Lincoln, and Representative Edgman. We have a quorum to conduct business. I'd ask that everyone please silence your cell phones. And before we begin, I'd like to thank Susie Edwards, our committee secretary, and Max Stanley from the Juneau LIO for recording and transcript services today. And my staff, Raven Nostein, is also available to help with any committee needs. Our intent this morning is to hear public testimony on House Bill 383, a travel act, and additionally, if time allows, to hear public testimony on House Joint Resolution 33, developing an Arctic infrastructure and defense. For the record, Representative Newman has joined us also. And at this time, I would like to invite Brooke Ivey, aide to the House Bill 383 sponsor, Representative Gren, to provide an update to the committee. We also have on the line to answer questions. We're expecting Emily Nauman from Legal, John Lambeth with Civitas Advisors is online to answer questions, as is Sarah Leonard with the Alaska Travel Industry Association, and Colleen Stevens, also with the ATIA and the Alaska Tourism Marketing Board. And Ken Alper is here with us as well from Department of Revenue. So at this time, I invite testimony or update, at least, from Ms. Ivey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Brooke Ivey, staff to Representative Jason Gren. And I'll just start by apologizing. Representative Gren is currently in House Finance. Otherwise, he would be here. I'm hoping he'll join us partway through the hearing today. So I thought I would just start with some addressing a few questions that were raised in the last committee hearing. So the first was raised by Representative Newman, and I believe he was asking where the vehicle rental tax funds were expended specifically. And I alluded to what I had been told by the department, but I did go back and look at more specifics. Unfortunately, I don't have a complete drill down, but the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities reported that in FY18 they received approximately $5,497,300 in the vehicle rental tax receipts, which is reflected in the charts in your bill packet as well. But the funds were used for direct highway and airport runway maintenance activities and can include labor, equipment, and materials. Additionally, the Department of Natural Resources received $3,013,200 in vehicle rental tax receipts in FY18. And as outlined in the fiscal note that is included in the packet, it's new as of the last hearing. These funds have been used by the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation for maintenance and operations of state park areas in four regions. And looking at the budget detail provided by the Office of Management and Budget, it appears these funds are used solely for personal services or personnel in that division. The second question, I believe, was raised that we weren't able to answer at the time was whether or not vehicle rental tax funds were utilized to bond parking garages, particularly in Anchorage. And speaking with the Legislative Finance Division, the answer to that question was not to their knowledge. No, the vehicle rental tax receipts, So in Anchorage specifically, the debt service for the Lily Paseo, I'm not sure the pronunciation on that parking garage, in Anchorage was unrestricted general funds. The third question raised, well, it was an issue raised by Representative Lincoln, was whether Alaskan residents could be exempted from the assessment. And as suspected, we did check with legislative legal on that. And this type of provision has been attempted in other bills in the past throughout the legislature, through Alaska higher provisions and that sort of thing. And what you run into is the Privileges and Immunities Clause in the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which prevents states and local governments from discriminating against individual citizens of other states. And so in order to overcome a privileges and immunities clause challenge of provision for local preference, one, must not burden a fundamental privilege protected by the clause, or two, if it does burden a fundamental privilege, there must be a substantial reason for discrimination against citizens of another state. And I think there's another case that sets precedent that you have to, non-residents must somehow be shown to constitute a particular source of evil, as I read. So I just wanted to share that with the committee, that unfortunately, as we'd like to pursue that option, afraid it would violate the U.S. Constitution. I had some comments to share in addition, if so desired, but.
Oh. Please do.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So a couple other issues, that general issues, that topics of discussion last hearing. The first that I just wanted to address was why to include the vehicle rental tax in this legislation, or address it in this legislation. So as discussed in last week's hearing, revenue from the vehicle rental tax mostly comes from the visitor activity. And vehicle renters are considered a segment of the tourism industry. So many other states look to vehicle rentals and accommodations as direct tourism activities that support their statewide marketing programs. And in that, Alaska is really no different in that respect. The statute designates these receipts are for tourism development and marketing. So that was put into the language when the vehicle rental tax was originally implemented or codified. So despite past uses of these funds, the current legislature does have the purview to appropriate the vehicle rental tax revenues to their originally designated purpose. Reinvestment of the existing VRT into tourism marketing is a priority for the new plan for statewide destination marketing to be successful, as that's something that the tourism industry has indicated is critical to their coming to the table with this plan. And the tourism industry does contribute over $100 million in various taxes and fees to the state's general fund, and that's just in like park fees, that sort of thing. So appropriating $9 to $10 million in vehicle rental tax funds to tourism marketing represents a 10% reinvestment to ensure the visitor industry remains healthy and continues to provide positive returns on investment to Alaska. Another point that was raised, or discussion point that happened, was why the government involvement in this bill. I've heard, you know, the sponsors heard, can't the tourism industry just do this on their own? And really, House Bill 383 involves state government as an official collecting agent of any potential assessment, and that's largely based on the model of a tourism improvement district. The TID model is intended to level the playing field so there's no free riders. If it's a voluntary assessment, as industry testified last week, it's a lot more difficult to get everyone to the table. Having a TID structure levels the playing field, it creates transparency and reliability, and also ultimately allows for confidentiality too, and so assurances there for businesses involved in the assessment. ASME, at the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, is a precedent for this type of legislation, where there's an assessment range of rates that's been approved by the legislature, and the state is the collecting agent on that. Of course, this is more complex. There's a lot more players involved in the tourism industry than in ASME, but this bill does attempt to give the government oversight through a governor-appointed board, involvement of the Department of Revenue in adopting tourism segment definitions and the like. So just to be clear, the government involvement level here is not asking the legislature to pass a tax bill at this time. The industry is lobbying to take on that process. So the bill really comes down to what is the problem we're trying to solve, and what happens if we don't. Recent years have seen significant decreases in funding for Alaska's tourism marketing programs. That's also reflected in the charts in your packet, and we discussed that last week. You know, as industry also testified, the tourism sector is starting to feel the impacts of the last few years of reduced funding. The cruise industry has done fantastic things to raise our visitor numbers in Alaska. However, that doesn't benefit most operators throughout the state. Statewide destination marketing is critical to sustain the tourism industry throughout Alaska, particularly the smaller businesses that don't have the larger budgets for marketing purposes. Tourism is part of the solution. We heard about the return on investment numbers. For every dollar spent on tourism marketing, you get $58 back in visitor spending, $21 for, take home for Alaskans' income, and $2.84 in taxes and fees collected. So it's a net positive for the Treasury if you're looking at the overall ROI. Again, this is a response to FY17 legislative intent language included in the operating budget for the tourism industry to come back with a sustainable plan. So this is the proposal. The tourism industry is now asking for enabling legislation to allow them to work together to figure out a way to contribute. The alternative is that we have no marketing plan. Alaskan residents aren't necessarily going to pay directly for this. The state has indicated they don't have the unrestricted general funds to pay for tourism marketing. So where would the funds come from if not from visitors is the question. And so this could have significant impact on the second largest private sector employer in our state. And we heard last week about examples of other states that have chosen to reduce or eliminate their statewide tourism marketing. So I can address that again if needed. But that's kind of the overall picture, and we're hoping that this can be a vehicle for collaboration on a path forward. I will just finish up by saying we recognize this is a complicated piece of legislation, and it's not a perfect bill. There are some known issues that we look forward to collaborating with members on. Particularly, we know that the transition board, the way that it's structured, we have them doing an initial election where they're nominating board members and determining a proposed assessment at the same time. Legislative legal has indicated it would be more constitutional to have an initially appointed, governor-appointed board before there's an election assessment. We ran into some issues in how to structure that so it would function because your board is supposed to be made up of payers of the assessment. So if you don't know what the assessment is, how do you know who the payers are? So we're having continued discussions on that, and the sponsor would be interested in finding a way to resolve that sort of sequence of events to bring us closer to a place where we've got a governor-appointed board up front. And then there's a few additional structural pieces that we recognize in the bill, and the sponsor does have some amendments that they that he would like to bring forward in the future.
Okay. Thank you. Questions, Rep. Newman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As the former chair of the operating budget and the FY17 budget, who came back, and as it was mentioned, that there was a direction from the legislature to come back with a sustainable plan for the tourism industry within the state of Alaska, which was also given to Alaska seafood industry. Because historically we've given up to $10,000, $10 million a year, but again, competing against everything else in our budget was difficult for legislators to deal with that. Mr. Chair, I met with members from the tourism industry after the meeting last week, to the two ladies that were presenting. I met with them for a half hour, 45 minutes. After that meeting, I went up and I met with Representative Gren and shared my concerns with him. I don't think that this bill will pass in its current form. I have concerns about that because it's taken money that's currently used in the general fund for cleaning parks that we don't have money for, and for a ferry system that's because they have expanded hours because we have 5 million people instead of 700. These departments need these funds right now, and we can competing against other general fund dollars. So how do you come up with a funding mechanism? And, Mr. Chair, I don't know if this will work or not, but it was just something that through the discussions with the folks from ATIA that I threw out on the table, because it's something that I have thought about quite a bit. And we just started a discussion as what programs are out there now that we already know of are firmly established so that we can model after. And I look back at the North American model of wildlife conservation. Representative Tuck is very familiar with it, Pittman Robertson and Dingell Johnson, where we have a 10% excise tax on all our sporting goods, that all the sporting goods that are bought goes into that program, and it's distributed to states for maintenance and operation. It goes right back into the management of those. I don't know if there's an opportunity here to have some type of an excise tax for tourists that are coming into the state. Mr. Chair, you know, how would you structure something like that? If their target goal is $10 million a year and they know they have X amount of people coming per year and the average amount of money they're spending, it's easy. There's only three numbers there to come up with your target number, that your percentage to get to $10 million. So if it's 2%, you know, or whatever the number is, I don't know if it's an excise tax there. One other carve-out or an issue that might be to have to deal with there, just upon thinking about this, is the cruise ship head tax. That would be somewhat double-dipping in my mind if they were to do that, because it goes right back into the industry twice. So I don't know if there would have to be a carve-out for the initial $37 or $39, I think, whatever. I can't remember exactly what that tax is. But maybe if it's a 2%, if it's 20%, I don't know, or $20 that comes out of that. I don't know what that is, but I know that it's a model that's proven. It's been very successful for 79 years in helping manage wildlife in the state. It's the people who use the services pay for the services and the management of those services under that type of program. And it's not using general fund dollars. Mr. Chair, I know that I can't support a piece of legislation that's going to take money away from other programs that we have right now. And this is not constitutionally mandated. You know, I go back to our Constitution. We're required to fund education. We're required to do transportation, public safety. And this is certainly not a constitutionally mandated issue. This is giving money to tourism, to the tourism industry, to help advertise Alaska. That's been increasing in tourism every year. Alaska's a great place to be. I support our tourism industry. I think that they do a wonderful job in the state of Alaska, and I want to try and help them succeed, continue to succeed, but I don't think the current bill that we've got is the way to go. I think that it's going to fail. It does not meet the directive that they were given. And for those reasons, I'm trying to find options. Mr. Chair, this is your committee, and I'd be glad to work with you, in the tourism industry. This is just one idea. And that is the discovery process. It is the legislative process. That is the committee process. As we discover new things, we ask questions, and that is that discovery process that happens here. We can maybe figure this out. But just my comments on this, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I appreciate the comments and the ideas. Are there any other questions or comments at this time from the committee?
Yes.
Josephson?
Thank you. Through the chair for Ms. Ivy, you said that 4352, and I see that there's some amendments to 4352 in the early sections, but you said that the statute was designed to send this revenue for tourism, or appropriate it for tourism and marketing. And can you give us that statutory cite?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, yes, that is that statute is 4352.080C. That reads, the legislature may appropriate the actual balance of the vehicle rental tax account for tourism development and marketing. This section is not intended to create a dedicated fund.
All right, follow up. So, Ms. Ivy, is it your position that these funds have sort of been co-opted and rerouted to other agencies, albeit for arguably tourism-related functions, but not as directly related as the bill would allow?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, that is correct. The sponsor, you know, in reviewing even Legislative Finance Division's overview of the FY19 governor's budget, it was the Code 1200 vehicle rental tax receipts were identified as a, for lack of a better term, misuse of funds, a non-designated use of designated funds. So while the legislature has appropriation power, yes, it appears that in the past, and I'll say that my understanding is the tourism marketing industry has not brought this issue forward in previous years simply because there was enough undesignated general funds to cover the balance. They were being effectively funded, but if looking back, so in your packet there is a chart showing the history of tourism marketing funds and the proportion of that came from the vehicle rental tax receipts, and you'll see that they were only appropriated in FY 2006 through FY 2011 and not even the full amounts, and a little bit in FY 2018.
And to follow up on that?
Follow up?
Yeah, and actually a comment, if I might. Relative to the intent language, I think that everyone or both positions could be correct, and I say that because the funds that are being proposed to be redirected are not unrestricted general funds. They are raised through the vehicle tax, but part of them. And in that respect, the intent language is met. On the other hand, Representative Newman makes the point that it leaves these other departments $9 million short of being whole. What is, I guess, for Ms. Ivey, through the chair, what do we do about that? I mean, I think a fiscal plan would be a start, but I say that at every opportunity.
Representative Josephson, through the chair, you know, the sponsor recognizes the fact that there would have to be a fund source change to UGF for both the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. You know, ultimately, and I can defer to those online if you'd like to hear directly from the Alaska Travel Industry Association, but even those in opposition to this legislation have expressed, from the industry, have expressed their very clear position that the vehicle rental tax receipts are from the tourism industry. It's already a pass-through cost to visitors that is very similar to what an assessment would look like as a pass-through cost to visitors in other sectors. And for industry to come to the table on this, they've identified the vehicle rental tax funds going to tourism marketing as originally intended as a key piece in this plan.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to, specifically on that point, I'm glad that staff to Representative Grin feels that way, and maybe the industry might feel that they feel that the vehicle rental tax was that way, but I would suggest that obviously the legislature feels different because they have not been funding it that way, and quite frankly, we've worked with the industry for quite a while on this, and we've had this discussion for years now of how to try and be more autonomous in your fundraising and not dependent on the state. So not a new issue for the industry, and I understand that they're trying to do their best to get the funding, but and it's great that they can say that they think that that's what it was for, but I think the legislature has thought differently, as we can see, since 2007, where they've been trying to say we need to use this money to support the infrastructure that's used by industry. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, yeah, looking at that chart, a couple things is all funds were general funds. In that statute, I believe, as I heard it, it says legislature may appropriate for tourism marketing. And if you look over the years, you can see where FY 06, FY 11, you know, the blue chart there, we did a lot of that. You'll also see that there was nothing going towards the Department of Transportation at that time, and then we started, looks like from FY 12, started investing in Department of Transportation, probably to catch up. I mean, I have no idea how that came about. And then FY 17 was the last year for that, to where we started again in FY 18 using money towards the marketing. So I would say that all these monies are subject to appropriations because we don't have dedicated funds here. But that shows a little bit of a history of where we've been.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions for Ms. Ivey before we move to public testimony? Thank you, Ms. Ivey. At this time, we will open public testimony on House Bill 383. We'll begin with those who've been waiting on the phone. When providing your testimony, please state your name and affiliation for the record. We're asking that public testimony be limited to 2 minutes per person so we can hear from everyone. And our first testifier today will be Ms. Jill McLeod. She's on the phone. Can you hear us, Ms. McLeod?
Good morning, through the chair and honorable representatives. My name is Jill McLeod. I'm an attorney representing Alyeska Resort Management Company. Thanks for the opportunity to provide comments today. I've been working with Alyeska to give them, provide them with a legal analysis of the impact of House Bill 383 on Alyeska's business, and Alyeska opposes House Bill 383 for a number of reasons that they've expressed in writing. In particular, and you've touched on some of these issues this morning, Alyeska opposes the bill because the tax just cannot be dedicated to statewide tourism marketing. In addition, the bill also lacks performance metrics, and there's no mechanism to track if the marketing efforts in accordance with the marketing plan would be effective. It's also impossible to know which tourism businesses will be assessed. We've touched on a little bit on that point this morning too. And from Alyeska's business perspective, the tax will likely hit their Alaskan resident users the hardest, and also effectively the tax currently is not needed. So we've discussed that one of the biggest issues with the tax is that the funds generated from bill coal rental tax and any proposed assessment cannot be dedicated to statewide tourism marketing. And as we've discussed, you've already seen that historically the vehicle rental tax, which is designated to tourism marketing from for tourism and marketing, has not historically been used to the full extent for those purposes, and creating a new assessment for the same purpose with no guarantee that those funds will be used for the designated purpose is nonsensical. And also, as the bill is currently drafted, it's impossible to know which tourism businesses will be assessed. There's no definition or transparency about tourism businesses.
Ms. McLeod, that's 2 minutes. If you can please wrap.
And tourism industry are all undefined, so it's very difficult to know who will actually be assessed. I'm sorry, is my time up?
It is. Thank you. If you have a closing thought, we can take that, though.
Just in closing, I'd encourage the committee to consider Alyeska's written comments on the bill, which explains Alyeska's concerns. And, without clarity on which segments will be assessed, this bill is very premature. And in closing, the funding is unnecessary. There's already existing funds going unused, and this assessment would unfairly burden certain segments of the tourism industry.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Any questions from the committee?
Yes.
Representative Tuck, then Josephson.
Yeah, and if I may, Ms. McLeod, you were talking about the funding unnecessary, that funds were unused. Did I hear that correctly?
For the purposes that they were designated. So according to some of the statistics I think Ms. Ivy gave, that only a very small portion of the funds that were generated from the vehicle rental tax were actually appropriated to tourism marketing. I mean, the statistics that I had were in 2017 about $1.5 million of the $12 million of the estimated collections were actually appropriated towards tourism, and a much although the vehicle rental tax is actually increasing or estimated to increase, only a small portion of the funding might be appropriated by the governor this year for tourism out of those funds collected.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Josephson.
Thank you, and I was going to ask the same question, but Ms. McLeod's comment made me think. Do you see, through the chair, do you see the benefit in moving the funds that were created under House Bill 383 in this subsection C, so that the vehicle rental tax would although there'd be some discretion, you know, essentially, rather than getting $1.5 million that would impact Alyeska's business, there could be $12 million. Do you see the benefit to Alyeska of a bill like that?
Through the chair, Mr. Justice, I believe you're suggesting that the sort of the full amount of the revenue generated from the vehicle rental tax be appropriated to tourism marketing, and the Travelaska board would market and use those funds?
Correct.
Yeah, I think from the perspective that if the funds that are already have already been designated for tourism marketing are actually spent through the Tourism Alaska Board, there would be no need to adopt a further propose a further assessment on industry. But it would be important to ensure that there were performance metrics to track the marketing efforts and whether or not those have been effective.
Follow up.
I take your point in some respects, Ms. McLeod, but I think what the tourism industry is trying to do is impose this tax, which, yes, Alyeska may have to bear a part of, because it wants to come to the legislature in good faith and say, we're going to contribute. It strikes me that there's something honorable about that. Do you have any comment about that?
Through the chair, I'm sorry, I didn't catch who I'm speaking to, so I apologize. I believe that Alyeska would be able to, Alyeska representative in at the hearing would be able to provide some more details surrounding the effectiveness of the marketing efforts as they exist now. And there should be some accountability and performance metrics attached to the spending in order to ensure that the tourism marketing actually is effective.
Yes, and Mr. Chairman, it strikes me that that would be in the self-interest of the board itself. Thank you.
Yeah, that was my thought as well. You know, as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if this bill were to pass and the industry were to assess, a tax on itself, and the legislature chose to use those funds for reasons other than marketing, then the industry would be able to roll that assessment back. Is that correct?
Through the chair, I believe that there is a provision for the termination of any assessment through an election process. And there are some, issues that Ms. Ivy and some others have raised with respect to the particular issue with determining who actually is allowed to vote and propose the initial assessment. And there is definitely a circular problem there with how the transition board would hold an election to determine not only the nominees and the governor appointed Travelaska board, but in order to hold an election to propose the very first assessment. And the problem with the draft legislation as it stands is that the election is supposed to be held in accordance with AS 4425270 and AS 4425275, which allows for election procedures for a tourism business to vote in the elections. And the circular problem here is that it's impossible to hold an election without knowing which tourism businesses will actually vote and which tourism businesses and tourism segments will actually be assessed. So the tourism business, tourism segment, and tourism industry are all undefined in the bill. And the bill proposes that the Crown of Alaska Board will actually propose definitions for adoption by DOR. And furthermore, the votes are then weighted in proportion to the assessment that each voting tourism business is estimated to pay for the calendar year following the election. So we've got a circular problem in here where we can't even get the process started. And it just shows that the legislation is very premature. In other tourism improvement districts in other states, which Shivy mentioned, it took, you know, over 18 months, 2 years for the industry to even determine whether or not they wanted to establish a tourism improvement district. And here we've only just, you know, started talking about the bill. And a key distinction between, you know, tourism improvement districts, and other jurisdictions to the proposed legislation here is the funds can actually be dedicated in those other jurisdictions, and they cannot be diverted. Here, we know they can and have been diverted. So it's difficult for industry to support something where, you know, essentially the funding can go away at any time.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. McLeod. Any other questions or from the committee? Appreciate your testimony this morning, and we'll be moving on to our next caller, Mr. Stephen Mahe. Are you there?
My name is Stephen Mahe, Mahe's Jet Boat Adventures in Talkeetna. We have a fleet of jet boats. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Let's begin your testimony.
I want to thank Representative Lincoln for chairing this and all the representatives for efforts to get some kind of a bill through that can long-term fund the marketing of our beautiful, wonderful state here. So I support House Bill 338. I'm sure that we'll have a lot of adjustments in it before we have our final bill, but I'm hoping that we do get one. I've been in the industry for 42 years, and I can go back to the days of AVA, Alaska Visitor Association, and the funding problems that we've had there then, and then we created ATIA, and some years the state, when they've had a lot of money, has been very gracious with the industry and has supplemented it to so that we can have a marketplace that would be national and international. As a small business person in Talkeetna, it's very difficult for small businesses to be able to have an impact with the larger players on a national and international level. We have a lot of international guests coming in. So we need to be able to co-op the industry itself, and I think the industry is not really looking for a handout from the state, even though I think that the money that the state in the past has invested in the industry has created a lot of real growth in the marketplace where we bring many more guests in here, hire more people, build more equipment, build more facilities, more lodges, more, in my case, boats, of course. And be able to create a community environment that would really be inducive to having a very consistent economy and with good jobs. As a small businessman, we individually cannot go to that large marketplace. I think the language is in this bill. I'm sure it's got to be tweaked quite a bit, to where the industry itself will rise to the occasion and be willing to work with this tax system, with our guests, with our company, our staff, our personnel, and be able to generate the revenue that's needed for an effective, consistent marketing program. And this is one thing that in the past, historically, we have not been able to do, because one year we'll have 2 million, another year we may have 20. And we've been able to, I've been in the industry for 42 years.
Mr. Mahay, if you could wrap up, please, you're at 3 minutes now.
Okay. So anyhow, I support the bill, and I think very strongly that it's good for the state, and we're taxing ourselves. And me, as a local business person, am willing to work with that. Thank you very much. I want to thank everybody there for your attention to this and the efforts that you're putting into it.
Thank you for participating this morning. Also, please stay on the line for questions. Are there any questions from the committee? I have one for you. So what type of business do you have?
We have a fleet of 9 jet boats in the small town, 800 people of Talkeetna, and we do about 22,000 guests a summer. That's the last couple of years. That's what we're doing. So it's we employ 25 people.
Okay, thank you. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Welcome, Steve, Representative Newman here.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, Steve, you've been in this industry quite a bit. Do you think that the proposal now, I don't know, with the funding to the legislature, and I said, and I believe you and I have talked about this before, have you got any solutions on how to come up with funding or any thoughts individually yourself?
Well, the language in this bill, I think, in some form, it's heading in the right direction. I think that it could be implemented to attractions, you know, that they would be the people that would collect the tax and forward it to the state. And it would create a pool of money that we could use as an industry overall, partnered, to market our state.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, if we could, your chair, obviously the chair, but if we could have members or people who are commenting send any written comments that they have, that would be appreciated.
Okay. Is that something you're able to provide, Mr. Mahay?
Pardon?
Are you able to provide written testimony?
Yes, I can.
Okay. That'd be appreciated. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And I'll go ahead and request that of all the callers on or anyone in person also, if you're able to provide written testimony in addition to your testimony today or later this week, then that'd be really helpful for us. Hearing no other questions, we'll move on to our next person on the line, Mr. Brett Carlson from Coldfoot. Are you there, Brett?
Hello, committee and Chair Lincoln. Appreciate the opportunity. Brett Carlson, Coldfoot, Alaska, lifelong resident, and much of that spent, you know, working in the travel industry. And I've always thought one of the coolest things about the travel industry is it allows small businesses in rural Alaska to participate in the travel industry at the ownership level. And in addition to operating a small hospitality center on the Dalton Highway, the family of companies I work with, Northern Alaska Tour Company, Wright Air Service, Warblows Air, is working and interacting and doing business in over 30 communities throughout Interior and Arctic Alaska on a daily basis. And many of those communities have an intense interest in making their rural economy to grow by leveraging the opportunities in the travel industry. One of the things we do is rent vehicles to travelers that want to travel up the Dalton Highway, kind of a niche market. So we're one of the payers of the vehicle rental tax. And in listening to last week's hearing and some of the comments today, I think one of the most important things for the committee going forward is to make decisions on the vehicle rental park, the VRT or vehicle rental tax, using real facts, not alternative facts. You know, as both an observer and a participant in the conversations around the VRT since the very beginning, its inception, you know, legislation passed in 2003, collection started in January 1st, 2004. First thing that's critical, it has been said that the intent of that tax was to raise monies for highways, airports, etc. Never been the case. As has been stated, you know, multiple times, both in public conversations, private conversations, in the legislation to the degree our Constitution allows with intent language in there that it would be used for destination marketing. You know, the $100 million that come into the state from, you know, from the travel industry, this is the first and only tax that had an implicit commitment from the legislature that it would be used to market Alaska and grow Alaska's travel resource. Well, this second thing, which is real important, I've gotten the impression that it's believed that the legislature hasn't followed through on that commitment, and nothing can be further from the case. Just a year or so after the tax started being collected, as required, a special designated fund was set up. Initially, for a couple years there were some technical reasons why that money couldn't be used for its, you know, directly for its intended use marketing. But it was actually, you know, ironically enough, some of the biggest fiscal hawks in the legislature, you know, the late Mike Kelly, John Coghill,
Mr. Carlson, you're at about 3 minutes. Please wrap up if you can.
Thank you. I will wrap up led the charge. And over a couple years, legislation was passed with strong bipartisan support. Just a few people in the House and Senate, you know, didn't support it, to ensure that $9 million would be reinvested in destination marketing. And that continued for the next 8 or 9 years. And it's only been the last 2 or 3 years that with budget realities that hasn't been able to happen. And I guess my closing remarks would be that it's just a great opportunity for the legislature to have some vision and as regards developing Alaska's travel resource. Take $1 in $10 that comes into the state, match it with the new tax the assessment that the travel industry would apply to themselves and raise the funds necessary to grow the industry. So thanks for all you're doing. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Any questions or from the committee? Okay, thanks for calling in this morning. Our next caller, Mr. Kirk Hosel from Girdwood. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Kirk Hosel. That's fine. I really appreciate the chance to talk today. My name is Kirk Hosel. I'm the president of Alaska Wildland Adventures. Our year-round offices are in Girdwood. We operate 3 lodges on the Kenai. We also offer multi-day small group adventure programs that venture from the Kenai to Denali and Fairbanks and beyond. We started business in 1977. I've been involved leading it for 36 years. We employ a dozen year-round staff and over 100 seasonal employees, many of which are residents who live in rural Alaska. Today I want to speak strongly in favor of Alaska's destination marketing program and also strongly in favor of establishing the Tourism Improvement District, such as set out in HB 383. Research throughout the United States has shown that if you want to have a strong, diversified travel tourism economy that's far-reaching into rural areas, it's essential to have a strong and well-funded destination marketing program. I want to point out that my business enjoyed some very strong years, directly following the years when spending for the programs were at high levels, culminating in outstanding years for 2015 and 2016. Yeah, for 2017, for the first time in many years, we began to see a decline in our trip inquiries and in our website visits. And we also experienced a modest decline in revenue while spending even more aggressively on our own marketing initiatives. And I believe that this is directly connected to the severely reduced marketing programs we've seen in the last couple of years, and I believe it's starting to catch up with us. My sense is that we're starting to see the fallout from not consistently reinvesting in our destination marketing programs. And I'm very concerned for small businesses throughout the state, especially those who operate in rural, remote areas. And I feel the future doesn't bode well for us unless we correct the situation. So in closing, I very much support the TID concept as presented in HB 383. I feel it's a good solution for our current fiscal situation. It allows visitors directly fund the programs through specific taxes and assessments. And I think what I've learned is we're not reinventing the wheel here. I've encouraged to learn that these concepts have been very successful for the state of California, as well as for a great number of cities and communities in California and throughout the country. So for all these reasons, I urge you to support HB 383. And thank you so much for your time today on this support subject.
Thank you for calling in. Any questions?
No question.
Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what I'm hearing is that since 2017, you've been seeing decline in your revenues. What I'm hearing is that we've had record tourism dollars coming into the state of Alaska, and we're seeing another record year this year, but you're not finding that in your situation. Am I hearing that correctly?
That's true. For the first year in several years, we've had a decline this year. I think what you're seeing, we're seeing throughout the state record years, but they don't. Visitors don't always get distributed equally to all the different locations. And small businesses such as ours our marketing programs are effective when our prospects have heard about Alaska, have learned about the benefits of travel here, and then our advertising is effective. But if we have to do the job of convincing them that Alaska is a destination to go and that our particular programs are right for them, that's where the inefficiency comes in. And I believe that's why we're seeing less inquiries on our records and less bookings and revenue declining because we're starting to see the decline in spending in our destination marketing programs over the last 2 or 3 years.
And another question.
Follow up.
Thank you. And then also, how much do you spend roughly a year on your marketing plan for your particular adventures?
We spend about 10% of our sales revenue, so it's over $300,000 to $400,000 that we spend in marketing initiatives through website, through publications, through other promotions.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for your testimony this morning. We'll move on to Mr. David Story. Are you there, Mr. Story?
I am. Thank you very much for taking my comments today. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. My name is David Story, and I live and work in Cooper Landing, Alaska. I also work for Alaska Wildland Adventures for Kirk. I just want to say on an individual level, I also support this for a lot of the people that are in my community that aren't necessarily able to speak today. I support a statewide tourism marketing program because I feel it's essential to the success of small businesses such as Alaska Wildland Adventures, but a lot of the other folks that make up the economic community here in Cooper Landing, the Kenai Peninsula, and businesses throughout Alaska. Those smaller businesses can't really spend that much individually to market their services, and so to broad audiences. And so they really do depend on the state to help promote itself as a destination. That state promotion, I think, helps the potential visitors consider Greater Alaska as their travel destination and allows those individual businesses very specific marketing of individual services to then be more successful. And that helps ensure Alaska's many opportunities outside of cruises alone and the larger travel are recognized, and that those businesses, along with the many industries that indirectly support tourism, also flourish. The TID concept is attractive because it ensures participation by all of the tourism industry while allowing the specificity of funding from the tourism industry. That said, while extremely challenged state budgets, the assessment of funding sources for our destination marketing program should take care to come from visitor-specific taxes and assessments that originate within the industry and avoid placing financial burden on Alaska taxpayers and consumers of similar services at large. And while I share the concerns about drawing revenue away from other general funds, like the prioritization of those, I think the prioritization of those general funds does need to be more appropriately addressed by the legislature, but not at the expense of the intended use of the VRT or at the expense of investments such as this with proven returns. Investing and drawing businesses to our state will help ensure the benefit of all Alaskans. The funding of the program will in turn allow the program to attract more visitors who will spend more money, further support destination marketing programs. And that model has proven to be very successful at other locations. It seems like a win-win for travel and tourism for the businesses and the state of Alaska. And so I feel like there does need to be some urgency in letting it get underway so we don't lose ground. Travel and tourism is a pretty bright spot in our state economy, and it is definitely the backbone of the economy here in Cooper Landing. And so I've read through the details of the bill, many of the supporting documents, Well, it's not perfect. The path forward it lays out does make sense to me as a method to phase out the reliance on unrestricted general funds for marketing, to allow the travel and tourism industry to vote on appropriate assessments and to promote the growth of the industry that will in turn sustain itself and the state as a whole. Jobs like mine in rural Alaska are difficult to find, and they're often subject to the financial ups and downs from year to year. Programs like this can help maintain that consistency for industries such as ours and help eliminate or minimize that boom and bust cycle. It keeps the momentum up. It recognizes the financial contributions of travel and tourism, and it brings to the state some relief financial burden. So I see it as a notable return on investment, and I support HB 383 as good for business and my community and the state of Alaska in general. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Questions? I have a question for either you or Kirk, if he's still on the line. But I'm curious. The Alaska Wildland Adventures still getting over a cold and learning how to talk again, apparently. But you spent $300,000 to $400,000 a year in marketing on your own. I'm just curious what form that is. Is that online? Is it print? Is it, you know? Where is do you know how that money is spent, or how you, what means you use to market yourselves?
Yeah, we spend a lot on online marketing as well as direct to consumer marketing. We rely a lot actually on word of mouth and people coming here, but a lot of that budget, Kirk might be able to address a little bit more specifically, but it is in fact the online and direct marketing.
Okay, it looks like we lost him, but okay. Any other questions? Thank you for your participation today. We'll be moving on now to Kelly Bender with Lazy Otter Charters in Anchorage. Are you there, Kelly?
Yes, thank you, Chairman Lincoln and the committee. I really appreciate your time and consideration to hear all these comments. My name is Kelly Bender, and my husband and I own Lazy Otter Charters in Whittier. This summer, we will be operating 4 boats in Prince William Sound. We have a fleet of rental kayaks, a coffee and gift shop, and we hire up to 20 Alaskans seasonally and about 6 Alaskans part-time year-round. As a responsible business owner, we have continually fostered our business. We look out for our employees. We continue to invest in our company, as well as in the industry and the state we do business. And we are doing just that. We have just currently invested in building a new 30-passenger vessel that we will bring into service this summer in 2018. We operate year-round and have increased our year-round business. We are working hard to participate in the local economy. But there would be no more boats, there would be no summer or winter jobs if we didn't promote our business. If visitors don't know who we are and what we have, they won't use our services. We have to actively go out and find customers. We have to pay for advertisements. We have to go to travel and trade shows. And we have to be active on social media. This is pretty much business 101. These are the things you do to grow your business if you want to succeed. Tourism is Alaska's business. There are thousands of jobs, year-round jobs, supported by this industry. There are hundreds of small businesses feeding their families off this industry. There are countless business owners investing in this industry and investing in the state. Just like a responsible business owner, the legislature should be caring for, fostering, and investing in Alaska's businesses. People won't come if they don't know what there is to do here in Alaska. They won't come to Alaska if they don't know what we have to offer. Alaska is out-marketed by nearly every state in the nation. Every other state in the nation clearly understands the importance of promotion and the value of tourism industry for the economic growth. To be competitive, Alaska's travel industry must have a strong tourism program. It's crucial. As a business involved in Alaska's diverse tourism industry, we support the industry's efforts of a long-range solution for sustainable tourism marketing. We support a tourism assessment and establishing a tourism marketing fund. We support the Tourism Improvement District model. We also strongly support the current revenues generated from existing taxes on the tourism industry, like the vehicle rental tax, or car tax, and that it go back into the industry as it was originally intended. impact to the visitor industry is clear, with more than 2,000 visitors coming statewide and the statewide impact over $4 billion. But be sure these people did not magically appear. It's due to years of a diligent and aggressive marketing program. After 2017's devastating decrease in funding, the number of visitors...
Ms. Bender, 3 minutes, please wrap up if you can.
Without a comprehensive sustainable marketing plan, we are already lagging behind. We can't afford to wait. Please support this legislation and the long-term growth of Alaska's travel industry. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you for calling in this afternoon and for your testimony. Moving on to Ms. Karen Harris. Are you there, Ms. Harris?
Yes, I am.
Please state your name and any affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
My name is Karen Harris. I have Alaska Garden Gate Bed and Breakfast near Palmer. And I thank you, Chairman Lincoln, and other committee members for having this hearing today. I would like to say I'm strongly in support of House Bill 383, and also I'd like to concur with the thoughts that Steve Mahays, Brett Carlson, and Kirk Hessel have shared today. I'm a very small business owner. I started with just rooms in my house as my means of making a living here in 2002, and I've grown to the point where I have 20 cottages. We have 3 full-time year-round employees now and 12 folks in the summer. And the years when the state had was contributing quite a bit for the marketing funding, we had really great years. It's fallen off since then, and it's been a struggle to kind of keep it up at that same level, especially as we've grown the number of units that we have to rent out. So it's been a bit of a shock to feel the loss as the marketing numbers for the funding have decreased a little. We knew that, you know, in the years past the $20 million budgets that we'd have some residual effect still, and but that's come to a close, and we really need to get the money going again. It was a privilege for me to be able to serve on the ATIA board as an appointed member a couple years ago, and I wanted to go in there and be a strong voice for very small businesses, and I learned, I was very grateful to learn that the ATIA board could not be more attuned to small business needs, that that's always in the forefront of their minds. Even at the largest business size, the representatives on the board know that good small businesses in our smaller locations in rural Alaska are very important for the overall picture and for providing activities and lodging for our guests and to have them have a great experience in Alaska. So I'm very grateful that through my experience with the ATIA, I saw that not only the board, but also the legislators that we worked with were very much looking to find ways where we can, through our own means like this TID, keep the tourists coming and coming to our smaller parts of the state and to smaller businesses like mine. So thank you for considering this today.
Thank you. We don't have any questions from the committee, so thank you very much for calling in and participating. Our next and last caller is Ms. Deborah Hansen. Are you there, Ms. Hansen?
Yes, I am. My name is Deborah Hansen, and I represent Pikes Waterfront Lodge in Fairbanks, Alaska. And thank you, Chairman Lincoln, for running this meeting. I'm calling in support of the TID also. I've had similar experiences as some of the other callers in that Pikes has been growing and doing pretty well. And we struggled some last year, and we're struggling more this year with sales. And this morning I had a conversation with one of our group people who had eight arrivals, eight groups coming up this summer, and she just canceled two. And I called and asked her why, and she said, well, there just doesn't seem to be the demand for Alaska. And I said, well, why is that? And she said, well, it's still popular, but she said, you know, Alaska's competing with Europe, and she said some of our East Coast clients are finding that more appealing. And I asked her, do you think that the fact that we're not doing TV advertising anymore, sending out vacation planners and all, would have an impact? And she said, well, it's a competitive market out there. And she said, Alaska's not really advertising, and that could be translating to you know, customer demand, but I can't, as Pike, advertise to get someone to come to Fairbanks or Pike specifically. You know, I rely on the state of Alaska making the state of Alaska look attractive out there in the marketplace, and not having, generating the leads and not having television advertising and not having a vacation planner and not having the investment in marketing does translate to the smaller companies. I mean, we're a land product, and we rely on independence, we rely on international, and all that takes marketing money to get them to understand what Alaska is and how you can get there and why it's an attractive destination. So we really support it. We need marketing money for the state. I've been one of the people over the last year coming up and asking for marketing money. We've been working a year and a half on getting this TID in place. Actually, it's been over a year and a half, and we just want the opportunity to vote and implement it and raise the money for marketing instead of continuing to come and ask for a handout. And I think it's great we've all come together to do this, and I sure hope you support us. Thank you.
Thank you. We don't have any questions for you, so thank you very much for calling in. There's another caller that I forgot about. Sorry about that, Mr. Lambeth. You still there?
I am, Mr. Chair. Thank you so much. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify. I did have a chance to address you last week, but would love to just take a couple of minutes and address some of the issues that have been raised today, if that's okay.
Please.
One issue that's been discussed, and I know is a significant issue, is the VRT issue. And Brooke Ivy did a great job of talking about how in other states that's used. We have familiarity working with the tourism industry around the country and internationally on tourism improvement districts, and it is very common to see vehicle rental car taxes as a part of those mechanisms. But I think really what the industry here was trying to say is that they were looking for a partnership, that probably don't have a lot of industries come forward to you and say, we want to tax our industry more. And this industry, I think, really has gotten together and stepped up in a very significant way after a lot of discussion and a lot of debate and said, we are willing to do something where we would tax ourselves more, but we very much would like the state to be our partner, and part of that partnership is the VRT money. We know you all have very difficult decisions to make. I don't think anybody envies the kinds of choices that you all have to make on a daily basis with regard to limited state funds. But at the end of the day, even with the language that's in this bill, the legislature, we all know, still has the ability to appropriate, and there are no dedicated funds. And so the legislature will retain that, and you will have to make those tough decisions. But at least the language that's in the bill, I think, is a good indicator and a good starting place for that partnership. Second, there was some testimony regarding the procedure for the elections and that there was some potential problems with that procedure. And I would just say that there are not. The procedure makes sense, and it's internally consistent. The bill is enabling legislation. The legislature is just setting up a framework for the industry to come forward. And when the industry does that, the board will have a very specific proposal on the table. It will lay out the very specific rates. It will lay out what industries are included, and everybody will know who's included and what those costs are very specifically before one business owner is asked to cast a ballot. So they will know with specificity, are they in, are they out, how much is included, and what, and there will be numbers around the individual weighting of the votes. To address the issue of whether or not the Travel Alaska Board was involved in actually approving those, the bill not only has the transition committee setting that and putting it on the ballot, but then the Travel Alaska Board must ratify it after they are elected as well. So it's a detailed process. It's internally consistent, and it works. And by the way, it's not an uncommon process. This is something we've seen in other places. Third, there's been some testimony about the dedication of funds and saying that that's a defect with this legislation, and really that argument proves too much. We know that there's a constitutional limitation against having dedicated funds, and that is the situation. Any other sort of proposal that would be any sort of compulsory levy is going to have that same problem associated with it. What this proposal has, and was mentioned by one of the representatives earlier, is that the industry can dissolve it. And so there is, and Mr. Chairman, I think that was, if I'm not mistaken, I think you had mentioned that, but the industry can dissolve it if, for whatever reason, the money is appropriated in a way that isn't consistent with the original intent. Finally, it was mentioned that TIDs in other states have taken 18 months to 2 years. And while it is true, there are some examples that have taken that long, there are lots of examples of TIDs that have been put together in less than a year. There are 167 of these across the country. Our firm has worked on over 120 of those. Typical time frame of putting something like this together is about a year, and the industry has been working hard for many, many months to even come up with this proposal that is the enabling legislation that then, after obviously if this bill were to pass, that they would have to come forward and develop all the details working with the industry. It's no easy task. That's a very complicated and...
Mr. Lambeth, you're at 4 minutes and 30 seconds now. If you could wrap up, please.
I will close with that. Bottom line is that the legislation that's before you is a proven mechanism, and it's one that works. It is enabling legislation that has worked in conservative places like Kansas and liberal places like California, and we would urge your support of HB 383. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you. And we do have a couple. I don't see any questions from the committee. We do have a couple of people in the room with us who would like to testify, and I'd like to first ask Mr. Mark Weekland to come up to the table and state your name and affiliation and provide your testimony, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Mark Weekland. I'm the general manager of the Hotel Alyeska, and I represent Alyeska Resort. We are opposed to this proposed legislation.
If you don't mind, please speak into the mic. Yep.
We're opposed to this proposed legislation. we view it as a narrow, targeted year-round resort and statewide lodging tax, activity tax. We think that it's narrow in that it's the tax is going to be paid by proprietors of businesses across the state on a year-round basis to the benefit of primarily the summer visitation, and there'll be exclusion of a lot of principal payers within the summer marketplace, albeit the large cruise lines, the airlines, state represented associations, museums. I think by the end of the day, our concern is there'll be more exempted businesses than participatory businesses. Glad to hear that it's a tax. For the longest time, we're told it's assessment. This isn't a tax. We perceive it as a tax. Additionally, glad to hear there's going to be some specifics to it. It's hard to get your arms around the vague general basis of the proposed legislation and move forward with a vote. We pay $1 million, 12% rate, to the municipality of Anchorage. Anchorage brought in $25 million last year. It was up 3%. In light of the decline in commercial commerce, corporate business, state government travel in general, that would indicate, contrary to a lot of the prior testimony, that the industry had a decent year as far as Anchorage. Anchorage is the biggest airport in the marketplace, albeit I think you can construe that that's an indicator of where the industry went on a much smaller budget than it was historically appropriated from the legislature. Appreciate your efforts. We're grateful for looking to be part of a solution, but we operate a year-round resort with 650 employees. Our year-round sustainability is our utmost interest. We're very confident in summer. We're confident in summer 19. We're confident in summer 20. We're confident in this summer. The year-round aspects of doing business in Alaska, none of the costs are going down. So an increased tax to us is perceived as a headwind. And I would also look across the horizon at other markets that are either not on the rail belt or don't have an airport. They're going to pay year-round, as this bill is drafted, as a lodging tax. So if your constituents are out there and they want to contribute, they can. Each community has opted into a destination marketing program. In Anchorage, we're in at 12%. In other communities, it's less. And in some municipalities in Anchorage, it's been less. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Thank you for your testimony today. The other person looking to testify in person is Mr. Donald Bullock. You please state your name and affiliation, if any.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Donald Bullock, and I'm only here representing myself. I'm a retired attorney. And I oppose the bill not because I have any negative thoughts about the tourism industry. They're great. I appreciate the things they do for Alaska. I appreciate walking down the street and hearing the tourists ooh and ah over the things that we sometimes forget to ooh and ah about. But this is a tax. It's a tax on a targeted industry, the tourism industry. This is a new tax. It's not in Title 43, but it's an assessment that would be enforced by the state. But unlike other taxes, you probably wouldn't appreciate if AOGA decided whether or not oil and gas production should be taxed. And what this bill does is it's putting the tourism industry in the position of whether or not they're going to have this tax applied to them. If the tax is applied, there's the full force and power of the state to collect this tax. The bill specifically mentions the powers of the Department of Revenue. Those powers include filing levies against people that don't pay this assessment, penalties and interest. And that's pretty serious. The other part that I want to talk about is that's my comment on the tax part. Are designated funds and dedicated funds. And I think of designated funds as disappointing funds because they're not dedicated to a purpose. A few months ago, the Alaska Supreme Court ruled on the permanent fund dividend case and said that there wasn't a dedication of that money, that it was subject to appropriation. Similarly, the tax that's collected under this bill goes into the general fund, and it's only a designated fund. Now, the best of intent would be to take this tax that's collected from this particular industry and appropriate it back to them. But we're facing tough revenue times. Those designated funds, almost every provision that designates a fund says this is not a dedicated fund. And the money can be used for any public purpose. There's no guarantee that the money that's collected under this tax, it's put into the general fund, best of intent that it goes back to tourism, there's no guarantees.
Thank you. Rep. Josephson?
I sensed he was done. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Mr. Bullock, just so I understand your two points. The first point is that because the Department of Revenue would be authorized to collect it, that is the tax, that there's, I haven't studied this issue enough to have an opinion, but that there's something sort of improper about using an agency of the government and an arm of the sovereign to collect something that isn't really the sovereign's? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. First of all, this is a tax. Okay. You call it assessment, whatever you want, but it's a tax. Money that's going to be collected under a statute passed by the legislature. And this tax, when it's collected, goes to the general fund. It's the same thing as mining taxes, production taxes, and everything else. I mean, for example, a certain percentage of production taxes is designated to go into buying tax credits. But that's only a designation. Even that section says it's not a dedicated. So this is a tax just like any other tax. It's just one of the big differences is the people that are going to pay the tax would be the ones that decide whether or not they want to tax themselves. So as a tax, it's subject to all the administrative provisions that the Department of Revenue has to collect an unpaid tax.
Okay.
In other words, it's a government tax. It's a tax that revenues will go into the general fund.
Right. And I guess as to your second point, there's all sorts of designated funds in the budget that could be swept up and repurposed. and that if we didn't, and that if that were to occur, the entire system, I mean, there would be pitchforks, to use the vernacular, the entire system would sort of crumble with protest and disgruntlement, wouldn't it? I mean,
well,
and for example, here.
The dividend case is a good example of that.
What's
you know, the Perm Fund dividend case is a good example of that. People were upset because the full amount wasn't of half the earnings of the Permanent Fund wasn't available. Well, went to court and found out, yeah, I mean, it is subject to appropriation. For example, this tourism fund, it goes in there. The intent is, yeah, it'd be nice to go to tourism, but maybe it needs to go to a better dock somewhere or infrastructure that's related to tourism but doesn't directly go to marketing. I mean, this is the type of funding decision that the legislature makes all the time. You have general fund money. Sure, it may be designated, but that's just a hope for. And that's why I said designated funds are awfully disappointed funds because they can't be used for any public purpose.
Follow up. So this isn't, through the chair, this isn't my forte per se, but there is an element of trust, and it sounds like the payors here are willing to engage in that element. So why do I, if they trust me and 59 others, that's their decision, isn't it?
Mr. Bullock?
Yeah, it's through the chair. It is trust, but it's not a binding trust. There's no guarantees. I mean, it's a trust with a risk, high risk, especially as revenues decline.
Edwin?
Yeah, Mr. Bullock, I will spare you the oil and gas questions that we normally throw your way. You're no longer employed with Ledge Legal. But your opposition to this, is it founded more on principle than anything? And if that's the case, or perhaps it's not the case, but do you have any other suggestions, given there might be another vehicle out there that you've envisioned?
When, through the chair, this takes a tax approach to fund tourism in the state, and that's where the problem is a tax, it's subject to tax law, and when the money comes into the general fund, then it's subject to appropriation, no matter what the designation is. If the organization did this, for example, I'm a member of the Bar Association, I'm an active member, I pay dues to that association, and I get the benefits of that association. Members of other Moose and Elks, they pay dues, they get the benefits of that association. If the association itself were to impose, say, join our association, we'll include you in all our advertising, give us some nice color pictures, we'll spread them out and we'll put it out there. And they said, if you want to join, you're going to have to pay a share of what it costs to do all that. You don't have a dedicated fund problem. You don't have the threat of liens, levies, penalties to the state and the visit from the state. My first job in the Department of Revenue in 1977 was to go out and collect delinquent taxes, including the business license tax, which was a tax on gross, and sometimes paid by people that weren't even making any money. There were losses, but they were taxed on gross. So the alternative is a private organization that assesses its members rather than have the state add additional tax that could be used for anything.
So can I follow up, Mr. Chairman? So as I do my own personal vetting on the bill, I just want to make sure that I understand your representation. You're here on your own volition, speaking against this because you have ideological differences with the bill, and I hear the word tax repeated quite regularly in your answers. I can get that, I suppose, but as I sit here, and again, I'm sort of doing my own investigatory, process on the bill. I think I see a need that's clearly defined. I don't see the means to actually provide that need. So part two of my earlier question to you is, what would your alternative be if you don't believe this is the vehicle to, no pun intended, to go forward?
No, my opinion is a legal opinion. I'm not representing anybody. In fact, I love the tourism. The closest I came to being in the business myself was when I was a steward on the ferry when I was still in school. I appreciate everything tourism does for Alaska. But this is basically a new tax. And so my legal advice from you as a lawyer and some familiarity with Alaska taxes is that this is a tax. Be aware of it, a tax. Be aware that it doesn't result in a dedicated fund. It goes into the general fund in a fund that says it's designated for something, but that's not binding. The permit fund dividend case, again, shows even a fund that benefits people of the state greatly is still subject to appropriation, and the money could be used for anything.
Leave it. I've seen other questions. Thank you for.
I got a question.
Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good seeing you again, Mr. Bullock.
You as well.
Wish you were still alleged legal for us. So you're concerned about it being a tax. Do you have any concerns about the self-assessment?
No, any organization can do that. One of the things, you know, there's comparison with Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. That is a different thing. That is actually subject to the Executive Budget Act. There's no mention of that in this bill. So this self-assessment is a private organization. They can do that to its members. It's just that when the state gets involved, you're collecting a tax. You have a, you know, hope for a purpose for it, but nothing's binding.
And if I may, Mr. Chair, can you explain the Executive Budget Act a little bit?
Just to read the there's the policy right at the beginning of the Budget Act, and it says, I guess I don't have it here, but the policy is that is part of the budget. The legislature looks at it. They look at the expenditures. They decide how the appropriations should be made. And I think it would be particularly sensitive in this area where you have a new designated fund, and it would be nice to have it reviewed by the legislature so you know where the money's going and whether if you are appropriating out of that fund for tourism, that it's spent the way that you would like it to be. I mean, that's the power of appropriation, the decisions that are made. And the Executive Budget Act gives the legislature that opportunity.
And follow up, Mr. Chair. So when you say it's a tax, is there concerns that if it is a tax of an organization self-assessing?
The organization is deciding whether or not to be taxed. It's a tax, and it's unique in that this group of potential taxpayers is deciding whether they want to be taxpayers. And if they do, then that triggers everything. The Department of Revenue is going to have positions for this. There's a fiscal note, which the Finance Committee will be looking at, but there's going to be three new positions. There's going to be $900,000 capital expenditures to set up the programming for this. You know, these are all choices the legislature has to make is where you want to spend what limited money there is. And therefore, I mean, you want to see if you're going to appropriate, just like any organization, any incentive program, are you getting what you expect? Seafood Marketing Institute is directly tied into the fisheries taxes in 4375 and 77. So to the extent that their marketing is successful, there's greater incentive for more fish processing, which means more tax to the state. There's a direct link there. This link is indirect. There are taxes that the industry pays. They pay income tax on a multi-state ones pay on an apportioned basis to Alaska. They pay motor fuel tax if they buy motor fuel tax. They pay local taxes that might be assessed, and they do great things. I mean, you look at all the gift shops and the communities they visit. That's sales taxes to those local communities. It's a good thing. So my opposition is to the tax aspect of the bill. I don't oppose the state doing what it has in the past, appropriating money for tourism marketing or for the Division of Tourism and Commerce, Community, and Economic Development.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, one more question. I know we have to go, or assume we do, but through the chair, Mr. Bullock, is part of what you're saying that because we're dissolving the existing board, that there's no way, even though it's not state revenue in a traditional sense, that there's no way for us to, it's still a tax, and there's no way for us to monitor the nature of the expenditures or their efficacy? Is that what you're saying?
The monitoring.
We sort of have our hands on it, we sort of don't.
Right. I mean, the Executive Budget Act is to give the legislature feedback on how things are going, and then you can have legislative audit go out and see whether the appropriations are spent the way you intended to do. You know, it's a tax. And an appropriation, you could appropriate money for any public purpose. and tourism marketing, which brings revenue to the state and supports state business, is in the state's best interest. I mean, the bill says that the board is created for a valid government purpose within the Department of Revenue. But
just one more, if I could. Rick Joseph, through the chair. I mean, the difference here, in some respects, the trust element seems to be less of a concern because, as I understand it, the taxpayers could turn off the valve and redirect it or end the self-imposition of it if it wasn't used to their liking. Isn't that what the bill does?
That's correct. That's what makes it so unique. This is an industry that's going to decide when it'll be taxed and when it won't, will no longer be taxed. It's unique.
Thank you.
I wish I had that power.
Any other questions? Well, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
And with that, I don't see any other callers. Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify and hasn't yet? Seeing no one, well, I want to thank everyone that's still on the line and the two of you who testified in person for your participation. It makes a huge difference for us in the work that we do. Thank you very much. If members of the public would like to provide written testimony, please submit it to arcticpolicy.economicdev@akledge.gov. And at this point, we will close public testimony on House Bill 383. Is there any further discussion from the committee on House Bill 383? The intent is to hold this bill until Thursday, March 15, to allow time for any amendments. We ask that amendments, if any, are submitted to Raven in my office by 5 p.m. Tuesday, March 13. Is there any other committee business for discussion? We'll hold the resolution 33 till 2 days from now on Thursday of this week for public testimony and discussion. If there's nothing else from the committee, then we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting at 1:04 p.m.